Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday, June 25th. Hope you're having a great day. Great to be with you again. I was on earlier this morning on Morning Glory, guest hosting. I really appreciate it. Love, love, love hanging out with the amazing and beautiful Gloria Purvis, and the amazing and wonderful Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Both such full, it's just great insight and really cool, full conversations that we have, and I just really enjoy it. So an honor to sit in on the program. Coming up on this here program, Catholic Connection, we are going to be checking in for our Mornings on Marriage with Julie and Greg Alexander. You don't want to miss this segment, or actually two segments we're doing with them, and we'll open up the phone lines for you as well. We're talking about finding true intimacy in marriage, sacred secrets rarely taught in marriage prep. Now, this is a title of the webinar we're doing together tomorrow, and you can register for that, teresatomeo.com/webcasts. And because it's June is a very popular month for weddings. And we wanted to talk about what the church gives us and these amazing things that are treated like secrets because they don't get discussed. They don't get brought up, especially in marriage prep. And how many of us have gone through very, very weak marriage prep? Glad to say that there's a lot of that changing now. There's some really good programs, and it's starting to get better, but we still have such a long way to go. And guest, one of the biggest things that's not taught, contraception, and why the church teaches that it's an intrinsic evil. I have some pretty powerful quotes that I want to share with you, not only from church teaching, but from some of our amazing teachers, contemporary teachers, including one of my rock stars, Archbishop Charles Chaput, and I have some quotes from him that I'll pull up a little bit later when we have Julie and Greg on the program, and we'll be talking about this tomorrow as well. Everything goes back to this, and we see all this craziness out there in the culture. Gloria and Deacon Harold and I were talking about this study that came out where psychologists are appalled. They did a dating survey, and they found that a majority of people that they questioned, I think about 1,000 people, that they questioned, regardless of whether they identified themselves as heterosexual, homosexual, trans, whatever, they do not want to date transgender folks. And these psychologists are appalled, saying this is discriminatory, as opposed to looking at the way we're designed and what that says about the complementarity of the sexes. And even outside the Catholic Church, and we know that we have amazing writings on this, especially with theology of the body and the development of that teaching from John Paul II. But the research talks about men and women being connected. You can't get away from the natural law. You just can't. I don't care how you try. It comes up some way, somehow. And so this particular psychologist who wrote this article for Psychology Today or something, there's two of them, I guess, who wrote this piece. They're twisting themselves every which way to try and say that this is discrimination rather than looking at the fact that, Houston, we have a problem when we deny who we are made in the image and likeness of God. So anyway, all of this goes back to understanding just that, being male and female, and what God intended for that relationship. And what God says about marriage and the sacrament of marriage. So Julie and Greg joining us today, and we wanted to let you know about our webcast tomorrow. We'll have an entire hour to dive into that topic tomorrow on the webinar. Just go to teresatomeo.com/webcast. Okay, so that's coming up. Julie and Greg are going to be joining me, and we'll be talking with them. And then another hot topic, we're going to be looking at a really good piece that was just in the Register regarding so-called Catholic politicians and the issue of abortion. What can we in the church do to address this? And not only to avoid public scandal, which is huge, and avoid confusion, but for the sake of the person's soul. A person sitting there thinking, I can call myself Catholic, and then go around and openly not only support, but advocate for these things that go directly against core teachings of the church. The church which they still claim to be a faithful member. Lots to talk about this morning. Never a dull moment. It's Catholic Connection. It's co-produced, again, by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. First, let's take a look at the news before we take a break and open up the phone lines and chat for our Mornings on Marriage with Julie and Greg Alexander of the Alexander House. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on a Tuesday, June 25th. Well, as Democratic presidential candidates are preparing for their first debates this week, most are promising government funding of abortion. However, a new Students for Life poll does show that only 7% of millennials are agreeing with their views that a mother has a right to have an abortion up until giving birth. The Archdiocese of Indianapolis speaking out after a local high school terminated a teacher for being in a so-called same-sex marriage. The diocese releasing a statement yesterday which said the issue is not about sexual orientation. Instead, according to that statement, it is about, they said, the expectation that all personnel in a Catholic school abide by church teaching. Cathedral High parted ways with the teacher just days after Brebeuf Jesuit Catholic High School refused to fire a teacher in a so-called same-sex marriage, causing that school to part ways with the archdiocese as well. Palestinian officials in Bethlehem say a Byzantine-era baptismal font has been discovered in the Church of the Nativity. The church was built in the 4th century on the site of our Lord's birthplace, a baptismal font found during renovations of the church. The head of the Palestinian committee in charge of that church says it's not known why the baptismal font was covered up. He said there's nothing written about it in any historical book on the church. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is defending ongoing sanctions against Iran.
We have sanctions against bad behavior, and there's no question that locking this money up worked last time, and there's no question locking the money up works now.
Speaking at the White House yesterday, Mnuchin said the sanctions are highly effective and are not symbolic. His comments following the president's signing of an executive order imposing new sanctions on Iran. Trump called the new sanctions hard-hitting. Iran shot down an unmanned U.S. military drone over the Strait of Hormuz last week, the president saying the new sanctions were in the works before the drone strike. The president also making moves designed to make health care pricing more transparent.
We're here to announce new groundbreaking actions that we're taking to dramatically increase quality, affordability, and fairness to our health care system.
During a White House event yesterday, the president said patients have been at a disadvantage for far too long. A new executive order requires health care providers and insurers to disclose how much a service will cost before it happens. The president calling this an historic action. He also is suggesting that medical pricing is often quite outrageous. And Brian Shook explains a drug maker agreeing to pay $85 million for its role in the opioid crisis.
Teva Pharmaceuticals settled a lawsuit with the state of Oklahoma Monday. Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter said the money will go towards the state's effort to fight the opioid epidemic. Teva has agreed not to promote opioids in the state. The company will also help law enforcement with opioid investigations. Hunter called the opioid epidemic in the state devastating, but noted that the settlement will help the state face the crisis.
All CVS stores in Michigan, meanwhile, now have time delay safes meant to protect pharmacy employees from robberies and to keep opioids from being swiped. Attorney General Dana Nessel joining CVS employees to debut the safe at a suburban Detroit location yesterday, saying it should help to cut down on both opioid abuse and pharmacy robberies.
I'm concerned every day about it. It's an enormous problem, you know, we have enough problems.
CVS stores in Indianapolis, meanwhile, noting a 70% drop in robberies after installing the safes, which open at random times after the prescription is ready. Employees of the chain say the delay is long enough that prospective thieves aren't going to wait around for that safe to open. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, as Tom Roberts reports, will be meeting with 9/11 first responders who are pushing for reauthorization of the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund.
The meeting is expected to happen on Tuesday. McConnell has been the focal point of a public shaming by former Daily Show host Jon Stewart. Stewart has argued that 9/11 first responders should not have to come to Capitol Hill periodically to beg for continued funding.
Backers of summer meals are excited, they say, about a new bill in Congress that would address a need for regular meals for impoverished children who are out of school for the summer break. Washington State Congressman Rick Larson co-sponsoring the Summer Meals Act of 2019. He says the idea is to better integrate summer education and meal programs.
It isn't just a matter of ensuring we're helping provide the food, but we need to have partners in the communities to help make that happen as well.
Schools Out Washington, an organization that works in this area, says families spend about $300 more each month on meals during the summer when school meals are not available. It says that legislation could affect some 380,000 children in Washington State alone. And finally, in our news segment on a Tuesday morning, June 25th, Elisa Z has the interesting story about an Italian mob boss who's on the lam after escaping from a detention center in Uruguay.
Rocco Morabito was awaiting extradition to Italy when he and three other inmates escaped on Sunday night, making their way through a hole in the roof of the National Institute of Rehabilitation. Morabito was arrested in 2017 after being on the run for 20 years. He was convicted of drug trafficking and organized crimes in Italy and sentenced to 30 years in prison. Interpol has issued a red notice, which is the highest priority international arrest warrant for all four escapees.
Again, it is a Tuesday morning. So glad you're joining us on this edition of Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We both have great websites with all kinds of information. AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. Coming up, we are going to have our Mornings on Marriage with our dear friends Greg and Julie Alexander, founders of the Alexander House Marriage Ministry, alexanderhouse.org. They'll also be joining me for a full hour to talk about what we're discussing today, finding true intimacy in marriage, sacred secrets rarely taught in marriage prep. Brothers and sisters, this isn't rocket science. It's all there if you would only tap into it and stop trying to make up our own rules. Just saying. We'll be right back.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I had to go through fear, and thank God that I overcame the fear, and I just left it up to God, and now there's no more fear, there's just acceptance, and I'm just learning to listen. If you want to be closer to God, you just need to keep following His rules, and your application, your radio station, has helped me to always be positive and continue to listen to the rules and obey.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Join me, Teresa Tomeo, and Father John Ricardo for fun fellowship and beautiful weather during our Good News Marriage Cruise. Former NFL star Matt Burke will also be there sailing the Caribbean as we explore how to rejuvenate your marriage in Christ. We're sailing January 26th to February 1st, so call 855-879-6932. That's 855-879-6932. Or visit AveMariaRadio.net for early registration discounts.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Yesterday, talking about the beautiful Catholic Women's Conference of Northeastern Pennsylvania, and the whole basis of the conference, the whole theme was beautiful. It was all about meeting Jesus at the well from the gospel in St. John's Gospel, chapter 4, right? The Samaritan woman. And so I had a section in my talk about drawing from the well of faith, and we have such a depth in the Catholic Church. If we would only dive into it and not wait. I mean, no matter when you dive into it, you're going to be blessed by it, but the sooner the better. And so I always like to use different quotes from the world in terms of what, you know, the world says is revealing natural law, as I mentioned earlier, but also from our great teachers within the church. And one of my top favorite teachers is the amazing Archbishop Charles Chaput. And he wrote and spoke a lot last year about the anniversary of Humana Vitae, of human life. And one of the things he said is this, and this is diving into our topic today with Julie and Greg Alexander. Much of the moral conflict, broken family life, social unraveling, and gender confusion that seems so common today stems directly or more subtly from our disordered attitude toward creation and our appetite to master, reshape, and even deform nature to our wills. We want the freedom to decide what reality is, and we insist on the power to make it so. Archbishop Charles Chaput, the Archbishop of Philadelphia. 877-573-7825. Julie and Greg Alexander joining me this morning. They'll also be joining me tomorrow on our webinar talking about sacred secrets of marriage. And it's not a secret technically, Greg, I'll get to you first, but it's treated as a secret because it's discovered almost accidentally by so many of us. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Teresa. Thank you. Yeah, if you're talking about one secret in particular, that's the secret of sex. And there's so many beautiful things that our church teach about sex and how it should be lived out in a marriage, but unfortunately, nobody ever knows about it. And I always venture to say that a lot of parents are not talking about it because they don't know the truth. And as a result, what they do know is what the world has to say about sex. And with that being the case, that is the last thing that you want to pass on to your children. But unfortunately, it takes many people experiencing the difficulties and trials and tribulations in their marriage before they come to understand that there is indeed a truth about sex and sexuality that the church teaches that we should be living.
So, Julie, do you see this getting better in terms of marriage prep? I mean, here we are in June, one of the most popular months of the year for weddings. And what are you hearing from people who, like you and Greg and me and Deacon Dom, we discovered these beautiful teachings on contraception and the self-sacrifice of marriage, what that means, how we have to help get the other person to heaven. This was all new to us years into our marriage, which could have been avoided had we known about this earlier. But what are people saying that they're learning in marriage prep?
Well, it's sad, Teresa, because oftentimes we've gone to now this great teaching of theology of the body. It's beautiful, but it's so sad to know that a lot of these couples that present themselves for marriage preparation, it's the first time they've ever heard such language. They don't know the truth about God. They don't know the truth about marriage. They don't know the truth about chastity or sexuality. And what we continue to hear, even from parents, that will say, love is all that matters. You know, love justifies everything. Yet, however, when we build everything about that love that does everything against God's law and God's purpose and his plan, it endangers the very essence of every single relationship. And so people come so broken, they come so ignorant, and then when they're told about these things, it's a shame because it's hard for them to hear. They feel judged. They feel like we're pointing fingers because 9 out of 10 couples that come to marriage preparation are already living together and are sexually active.
So is it getting better? I mean, I know that we have a little bit more in terms of offers to people to watch and listen to. There's really good programs out there now that I think some parishes, some dioceses are using. What are you seeing and hearing in terms of the type of pre-marriage prep that people are getting?
Yeah, I don't think it's getting any better, Teresa, because of what Julie just mentioned. The couple's already actively living together and having sex, and as we all know, sex feels good. And so they're experiencing the good of sex, so in their mind, what's wrong with it? I mean, this is so awesome. Why should I stop this beautiful thing that we are experiencing? And so they hear those words in a various marriage prep programs, but they mean nothing because they've already are living in that sin, so to speak. Now, again, there are many that we do talk to that have heard that beautiful truth and have reconsidered their living together. In fact, a lot come back and say, hey, you know, thank you for sharing this information with us. As a result, we abstain from the marital embrace. That's funny, marital embrace and marriage preparation before marriage. But we've abstained from the marital embrace until our wedding day. So, and the beauty that it brought in a relationship as a result, it gave them an opportunity to see each other in a different light. Because when we're sexually active, it feels good. I always say that it clouds the judgment. There's a lot of things that we would be discussing if we were not having sex. There's a lot of things that we wouldn't compromise if we were not having sex because I don't want to disrupt the opportunity of coming together in that relationship in a sexual way. And so, therefore, I will keep those thoughts to myself. so many negative implications.
And how many, Julie, do you think know that the secular research shows that those who live together and have relations before they marry are more likely to divorce than those who are, you know, are chaste before marriage?
Well, Teresa, sadly, it's that old adage that, oh, okay, I hear that, but that won't happen to me. And sadly, I can say that because Greg and I are one of those people. We were one of the ignorant ones that thought, hey, you know what, as long as my mom and dad don't know, which they knew everything, and as long as, you know, we can do this because we're going to get married. You know, we justified everything. And so what we discovered in the depths of our pain and suffering mm-hmm. in our marriage, mm-hmm. we began our relationship with a lie.
Right.
Because we were in this point, we lied to God, we lied to each other, because we were telling each other that we were more than capable of being with somebody intimately that we were not married to. And so our foundation was founded upon that instead of on God, instead of on the beauty of us saying, you know, I reserve everything I have for you because I love you. The opposite, we say I love you. But what we do with our actions and our bodies, we're saying, I really only want you for one thing. Mm-hmm. And that registers in our mind, and then all of a sudden we go for that. And then years later, you wake up and you're like, I don't want to be used. I don't want to feel like this. I don't like this. I don't like him. I don't like her. And it's because we did it all wrong.
So how do we, Greg, how do we get back to basics? Because it is overwhelming when most of these young people, as you said, they go into the marriage prep, they want to get married in the Catholic Church, they're living together, you know, they're using contraception. How do you break through? It's got to be a challenge for those teaching marriage prep. And let me put out the phone number if anyone has a question, 877-573-7825. What do they do, do you think? Where do you start?
Yeah, it goes all the way back to what I call the original marriage preparation, which is mom and dad. Mm. First of all, we as mom and dads, we need to learn these truths if we don't know them, and then we need to begin to share those truths with our children. You know, every night after dinner, you know, we have a 10-15 minute conversation with our kids on the various aspects of our faith, you know, taking experiences that they are having in their life every day right now and relating it to the church and her teachings and why she teaches. So, most people don't get that growing up, and so they're totally ignorant. So we have to begin to allow parents to assume their responsibility as that primary educator in the home, and then to share these beautiful truths with their children so that when they come and present themselves for marriage preparation, they are just affirming, I should say the church is affirming what it is that the parents have been given them at 18, 25, 30 years of life.
And what we say, Teresa, often is it is a shame that when these couples present themselves to the church, thanks be to God, they're getting married in the church. You know, we're seeing the downfall of that as well. So we're grateful that these young couples are coming to the church to ask to have their marriage blessed by the church, to do it right, to understand that this is a sacrament. But oftentimes, like us again, we just did it because that's what you're supposed to do as Catholics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't understand the beauty and the goodness because we were doing everything backwards. And it just ends in tragedy.
Yeah. And the thing is that the Lord is, as you found your way home, and Deacon Dom and I did as well, the Lord will forgive. He will renew. Yeah. See, I make all things new. That beautiful verse in Revelation that we see played out on the screen in the Passion of the Christ, which is one of my favorite scenes in an entire movie, where he says to the Blessed Mother, see, I make all things new. But you don't have to go through all the yucky stuff that you and Greg and Dom and I went through. There is a better way, and that's God's plan for marriage. Right, Greg?
Absolutely, Teresa. And one of the things we found, and it's something, of course, that's foundational in our work, is that we can't just throw out the information, so to speak. We got to bring in the stories, real-life examples of what happened in marriages that did not live it this way, in the troubles that they've experienced, so that you can give the kids an opportunity to really see, wow, that can be a reality, because nobody's ever talking about that. Again, they're engaging in sex, it feels good, and they think that that's just going to take them through all the problems and issues in their relationship. However, when you have a couple standing in front of the room and said, hey, but this is what happens when you don't live it, and it just sends kind of this shockwave through the crowd and make them start to second-guess their situation and their relationship. And so, of course, our apostle has been built on that, our story, as we've messed up in so many different ways. So God has given us many opportunities to take our mess and make it a message for many.
Amen. Let your misery be your ministry, which you're doing. And I always say that we write so many books and speak so often because we made so many mistakes and have so much material to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. But isn't it beautiful
Hello.
That we can share that? I love that what happened, though, Teresa, because I never wanted anybody to know our issues. I was embarrassed. When we were asked to write our book, I was like, there is no way my mom would read it. She wouldn't hear what we did. And so I started to think, you know, for a moment, okay, if one soul comes closer to Christ because
right.
of what you put in that book,
right.
so be it. And I tell you what, there, time and time and time again, as embarrassing as it was, especially this part of our ministry, our marriage, that I didn't want anybody to know how messed up we were in this part, in our chastity, which was lacking.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing. But when we started to share, couples come up to us 5 years later and said, you may not know this, but when I was in the marriage prep class that you did 5 years ago, we did what you said, and we started our marriage right.
Amen. Amen. All right, we have one more segment with Julie and Greg. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. We're talking about this June month of weddings, finding true intimacy in marriage, sacred secrets rarely taught in marriage prep. We'll be doing a webinar for an hour on this tomorrow. We'll give you the details when we come back.
How best to express ourselves to God? Our prayer takes flesh, says the Catholic Catechism, when we use mental or vocal words to talk to God, who speaks to us through His Word. Our heart must be involved in prayer. We must be present to Him whom we are addressing. Whether or not our prayer is heard depends not on the number of our words, says St. John Chrysostom, as the fervor of our souls. Vocal prayer is essential to the Christian life. Jesus taught the perfect vocal prayer, the Our Father, to His disciples. He prayed aloud the liturgical prayers in the synagogue. He also prayed aloud personally, exultantly praising the Father, as well as expressing His agony in Gethsemane. Vocal prayer fits the needs of our human nature. We are body and spirit, and this need corresponds to a divine requirement. God seeks worshipers in truth and spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Finding true intimacy in marriage. Sacred secrets rarely taught in marriage prep. They shouldn't be secrets. They should be on billboards and, you know, all over the place. Because it's life-saving, because it's truth. 877-573-7825 in the Alexanders. And Deacon Domini, know from personal experience. We're not sitting here saying we are so holy and all that in a holy bag of chips. No, we are saying that we want to help people prevent the pain that we went through because we thought we knew it all and we did not. 877-573-7825. Julie and Greg also joining me for a full hour tomorrow. If you have someone in your family who is getting married, just got engaged, and you want to help them, please tune in tomorrow. We'll have opportunity for you to ask questions. We'll be diving in more deeply into the church teachings on marriage. And if you have a question right now, as we say in Radio Land, phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Now, sometimes when we share stories, because a lot of people tell us things, and you're in marriage coaching, and Dominic and I are do also marriage retreats and whatnot, and people tell us a lot of things about their struggles. And then if you share, if you ask them, okay, can I share something without using your name? And they say yes, and you share that story, people think you're making it up. I get that all the time. So, Julie, can you share a true story of an example of this situation that has totally spun out of control in our world today.
Oh, absolutely, Teresa. We have many. And can I just say, I'll just start with ours, because we came into this marriage starting it on the wrong foot. When we were in the military, we had two children, had our second child, and after she was born, we went to my post-delivery appointment, and the doctor called us in, and he said, oh, the Alexanders, perfect. Wow, look at you. You've got the perfect family. You've got your boy, and now you have your girl. You know, one of you needs to consider getting fixed. Well, we were like, fixed? What do you, isn't that what you do with animals? Literally, literally said that. We said, well, no, let me explain the human version. Either Julie, you can get your tubes tied, or Greg, you can get a vasectomy. So long story short, I'll bring you to the point. Greg figured, and since I went through the pain of having the children, he would be a man and get the vasectomy. We went with it because, you know, we thought, wow, by the time our kids are graduated from high school, we'll be rich and traveling the world. It was all about our selfish desires. So he underwent the vasectomy, and let me tell you, it was the worst decision we could have ever made, because it became something that ripped apart the very thread of everything we were holding on to in our marriage. Mm.
And as you know, Teresa, and many of the listeners, you know, Julie, after 10 years of marriage, we had reached a point where we felt we could no longer continue our marriage. So we made the decision to divorce. And as we began to learn our faith, and one day, and I think as many couples do that are on the brink of divorce, they always ask the question to themselves, how did we get here? And as Julie and I began to kind of go back and reevaluate our lives, we really discovered that a lot of our problems and issues started after my vasectomy. Mm. And it wasn't until we were introduced to the theology of the body where there's a beautiful statement that John Paul II makes. He said that the ultimate way that God communicates his life, love, and grace to the married couple is through the marital embrace.
Yeah.
And if that is true, you can almost imagine God running a conduit to the relationship when we come together in the marital embrace. And if you're like Julie and I were, where we were violating the ability to give our total self and to be fruitful in that act, you have to know that just maybe you're cutting yourself off from some of the grace that allows you to experience the difficulties in your marriage. And the difficulties is not God's way of punishing us, but it's God's way of saying, you know what, wake up, Craig and Julie, you're on the wrong path. You got to do it my way.
It's just as a parent, you would not say to, if your child comes to you and says, oh, you know, that freeway looks like so much fun. I want to go ride my tricycle in the middle of the freeway. You know, oh, okay, honey, go ahead. That's fine. Or I'm going to, you know, put on my wings and play, you know, Superman or whatever, my cape, and I want to go jump off a building. No, but that's basically what we're doing when we ignore God, because we're putting ourselves in harm's way in so many different areas, not only spiritually and emotionally, but physically. Okay, we have Austin calling from Odessa, Texas on line one. Hey, Austin, what's on your mind this morning?
Hi, Greg, Julie, and Miss Teresa. I was just calling and wanted to comment. Me and my wife, Christina, we were in Greg and Julie's marriage prep class about 9 years ago.
Aww.
In San Antonio. And I just wanted to say, with our experience, you know, dating and courting and then being married, it's been 9 years we've been married since in this past June, and it's keeps getting better and better. With our experience dealing with temptation before we were married, your Greg and Julie's witness from their story and what they told us and their testimony just helped us to make our commitment in marriage and keep it strong, keep us grounded in our faith for us and for our family. And then 9 years later, we have three children and one on the way. And, you know, life just gets better and better. There's so much joy that we experience by keeping our commitment to being fully open to one another and not holding anything back, as what y'all were explaining with, sort of, you know, contraception and other things that can come into a marriage. And, you know, the sky's the limit with the joy that's going to be coming
Amen.
Into your marriage.
Amen. I can't even
really to your spouse.
Wow. I love that. The sky is the limit. And we put God in a box. Austin, you could have explained it more perfectly. We put God in the box and say, well, you know, God. And this is what I told the ladies on Saturday. I had this jug. We were talking about the woman at the well, and she came to the water to the well to fill her jug. I said, well, I filled my jug all right. I filled it with everything that I wanted. And then I said, okay, bless this, and God and I will be besties then. But what because we put God in this box and we think that our plan, our ideas, as you said, Julian Gregg, are the best, and that it couldn't possibly be any better than what we think things can be. And yet, as Austin just described, you open yourself up to God, and the sky is literally the limit. And you know what? Maybe the sky isn't the limit, because I think people have walked on the moon before, have they not?
Exactly.
So there you go.
Heaven is the limit. There you go.
Amen.
Yeah,
well,
I want to say thank you to Austin as well, and extend our blessings to Christina also. But, you know, when you're out doing this work, Teresa, people, they never really come to us and say, why are they doing this? I mean, as you know, we don't make a lot of money doing
right.
it. We want people to know the truth. And when you come back and you hear testimony from someone who has benefited, who has grown from what it is that you shared, it just warms our heart. And it kind of takes us back to what we spoke of earlier, that we have to be sharing the stories. We have to allow couples to connect with those truths that we're trying to disseminate. Pope Paul VI said it best himself in a document, Evangelium Nuntiandi, that in today's society, people listen to witnesses first mm-hmm. before they listen to teachers. And the only reason they listen to teachers is if they are
those
witnesses.
Those are good witnesses.
We have to yeah. witness.
And I want to say, Austin and Christina, go and tell the world. Because
yes.
what you just did now on the radio, you need to tell every single person, because you give hope to those of us who desire to live it, and those that don't know how to live it. You are a map to show them how to do
yeah.
it.
And we didn't have time to ask, but I sure hope that they go to their parish, maybe they're already doing this, and they go to their DRE and say they want to do the marriage prep, right?
That'll be awesome. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're already out of time, which is why we're doing a full hour with you tomorrow on our monthly webinar. You can go to teresatomeo.com/webcast. It happens at 11 a.m. Eastern, and we have a full hour. And if you can't join us at 11 a.m. live, you can go online and register for free. It's all free. And you can listen. This would be a great thing to have at your parish, for your DRE, for anyone involved in marriage prep, especially someone in your family. That's tomorrow, 11 a.m., Finding True Intimacy in Marriage, Sacred Secrets Rarely Taught in Marriage Prep, Julian Gregg Alexander, thealexanderhouse.org. Check it out tomorrow, teresatomeo.com/webcast, 11 a.m. Eastern. It's free. We'll be right back.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We recently won an important case in federal court in Toledo, Ohio. For too long, city police officers were enforcing local and state laws to prohibit pro-lifers from engaging in free speech activity on the public sidewalks outside of a local abortion center. In our case, the court issued an order prohibiting the city and its police officers from enforcing any local or state law as applied to the expressive activity of pro-life demonstrators, including our clients. This is yet another victory for the First Amendment in a case where a city and its police officers were abusing their authority to silence peaceful pro-life demonstrators to appease those engaged in the baby-killing business. As the court's order demonstrates, the Constitution protects our clients' pro-life activity from such abuse. The government has no authority to silence our clients' speech simply because they are preaching the gospel on a public sidewalk next to an abortion center. Indeed, this victory is yet another blow to the abortion industry, which has too often relied on the government to promote and support its bloody business by silencing those who oppose it. The actions of the city of Toledo and its officers in this case were deplorable, and they violated our clients' fundamental rights. We stop this egregious activity in Toledo, and we intend to stop it wherever it raises its ugly head. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Tuesday morning, June 25th, 2019. Teresa Tomeo, Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. You know, we have so many great outlets for you to keep you connected to the Catholic faith. We have EWTN.com, AveMariaRadio.net. We have the Catholic News Agency. We have EWTN News Nightly. We have all kinds of great blogs and videos, and we have the National Catholic Register and other great outlets for you to dive a little bit more deeply into what the Church teaches and how it relates to us in everyday life. Because as I say in my book, Beyond Sunday, we need to take the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith, and apply that to our everyday lives, or else our faith is just something we do over the weekends, if that. 877-573-7825. With that in mind, it's very frustrating for us when we see so many so-called Catholic politicians boldly proclaiming things that are in direct opposition to their faith, and they still expect to be treated like every other Catholic who's trying to be faithful when they show up for Mass over the weekend. So what do we do about this? This has been something that has been in the news for many, many years, and Loretta Brown with the Register is on the phone with us, and she tackled this by talking with quite a few bishops about upholding the Church teaching and what do we do with these Catholic politicians. Loretta, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so you actually talked with several bishops, and they provide their take on this issue, which just keeps coming up every election and even in between. So to whom did you speak, and what did you learn?
So I spoke with Bishop Paparaki. I spoke with Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas. I spoke with Archbishop Cordiglione of San Francisco and Bishop McKnight of Missouri and Bishop Daly of Spokane, Washington. And it was really interesting. They said they were certainly in agreement about certain things, and they all had sort of, they all kind of raised different interesting points about this, because I think it is something that a lot of the faithful are frustrated about, and they're aware that the faithful are frustrated, and they're certainly, it's a difficult problem, and it's a problem that's been around for quite a while, you know, for these bishops. And so I think something I really took away from speaking with all of them is that, yes, it can be a case-by-case basis sort of thing, a pastoral response and assessing of where the individual is and what needs to be done in a specific case. But at the same time, there are these universal truths that really do need to be upheld and guarded, and so that those two things need to be kind of weighed when a bishop is assessing how to respond to the scandal of a Catholic politician who is not following Church teaching and who is contradicting Church teaching in their public lives, in their voting.
So would most of the bishops that you interviewed, what do they do in terms of dealing with it? Because they all have these, we know that Paprika was very open, and also Bishop Strickland, they both have come out very strongly. And Bishop Paprika, especially from Illinois, came out and said, you cannot present yourself for communion. And he was referring specifically to some Catholic lawmakers who were behind these awful, awful abortion laws in that state. So what other bishops agree with him, and what kind of was the take from the bishops to whom you spoke?
Right. So in terms of speaking to like a specific situation, I know Archbishop Cordiglione mentioned two situations he'd observed and how they kind of showed him different ways or kind of illustrate how the topic sometimes needs to be responded to in different ways. So one example he gave was when he was working in the chancery office in San Diego, and the bishop came out and invoked Canon 915 to say that this Democratic woman running for office, I think it was assembly member, yeah, should not present herself to receive communion based on a very pro-abortion advertisement. And that actually generated so much media publicity that she ended up getting elected instead of the Republican pro-life woman. And then he brought up another example of Cardinal Egan of New York, the late Cardinal Egan, privately having an agreement with Rudy Giuliani about, you know, hey, like, let's talk about your situation. They privately agreed he was not going to go to communion. And it was not until Giuliani violated that Egan spoke publicly about it. So he brought up those two examples to illustrate. Prudence is really required in, okay, well, can I first go privately? And that was something I believe Bishop McKnight mentioned to me as well. Yeah, Bishop McKnight did. If you can first attempt to, he said, if you first attempt to deal with the politicians individually rather than having a blanket statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I bring those two examples. It's like there's different situations these particular politicians were running afoul of, you know, church teaching here in a serious way. So the bishops in those cases are just kind of trying to assess, how can I do this so prudently
I think that would be an opportunity to educate and to really explain the church teaching and why it's so openly opposed. And we would think that most people know that the church is against abortion. But at the same time, we have been so seeped in this culture, which has been so pro-death and so accepting of so many things. This is an opportunity, if you meet one-on-one with that person, to educate them. But at the same time, you also have to think, I can imagine as a bishop, and I know this came up in the article, you have to think about what this does publicly, because these are public people elected. Their salary is paid for by the voters. They're out there, and their face is out there everywhere. And so if they're out there doing these things, it's not only scandalous for them, but it's scandalous for the church. So there's two things that they have to look at here, at least.
Certainly. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think they're aware of it. I think Bishop Daly especially was very aware of that. And he spoke about that this really is something he knows weighs on people. He said the lay people are asking us to address this, and we need to come together, and we can't like let this pass silently. And Bishop Pavrocki had some similar, like, very powerful words. I know they resonated with my Twitter audience. But yeah, he talked about, hey, these politicians are not gonna change 2,000-year-old church teaching. They're not, you know, they're not telling us how this is going. And it's really, you know, he was bringing home the point, it's really quite a scandal to have them out there, you know, professing things that are confusing and untrue, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. So most of the people, what was the response to the article on Twitter and in the comment section on the Register? How did they react?
I think there were, I got a lot of people who seemed to be happy that there were some of the bishops I talked to spoke so strongly specifically I mentioned like Bishop Pavrocki and Bishop Daly, and kind of affirmed their frustration and said, yes, we are guardians of the faith. We do need to uphold this. I did get some frustration over the nuance. I think I think there were some people who maybe I think they want to see some action quickly and, mm-hmm. and more of a blanket statement almost, because it is something that's just, especially with the 2020 election and we have a lot of the Democrats. Some in particular who identify as Catholic who have spoken a lot about.
Well,
about
it's so blatant now. I mean, it's just over the top.
Exactly.
Then you have these laws, for example, that are being passed in states that are run by so-called Catholic politicians, such as Rhode Island and New York. I mean, now, come on. I mean, I get the fact that you want to meet with that person and talk to them about the state of their soul and the jeopardy in which they're putting themselves. But at the same time, this is ridiculous. I mean, you've got infanticide and you've got all these things going on. And to sit there and say that, well, you know, we have to treat this with kid gloves. I understand being concerned about the person's soul, but I think most people, myself included, think, okay, something's got to give. It's not just about that politician. It is about the scandal that is brought upon the church and the confusion that results from this.
Yeah, I think a lot of my readers agreed with you there, and I think, I mean, just based on the feedback I saw. But I got a sense that there were people who would prefer more bishops responded like Pavrocki did with his mm-hmm. decree, singling out kind of the worst offenders, the politicians who had led the charge on these kind of very extreme abortion bills. And he singled out two of those Illinois Catholic lawmakers. because, as you said, they had demonstrated, you know, obstinate perseverance in, you know, in holding that. They met the criteria for that, for Canon 915 there.
Well, I think overall, I think, and I know you mentioned this in your article too, this is a real opportunity for education for everyone. I mean, it's an education for the politician, and the bishops, are, you know, they're the shepherds, and they're responsible for, you know, the caring of these souls. And it's an education for the people who may have forgotten what the church teaching, who have put it aside, yet still want to, you know, receive the Eucharist, and, you know, they want to compartmentalize, and they may not be aware of what this does to them in terms of the state of their soul and a state of grace. It is a huge opportunity to, and also just to see what the church says about this, and the care the church has for the person, for the baby in the womb, for the mother, and for society, and the fallout from abortion and what happens. This is such an opportunity. And if they want to regain the credibility, and I've heard several bishops, thanks be to God, bless their hearts, including the Bishop of Scranton on Saturday where I spoke, where he said that the bishops have lost credibility, they've left people down. Bishop Groose, who's going to be the new bishop in Saginaw, has said that, and others. If they want to regain this credibility that and for us to look to them, then we need them to be there to stand up for the beauty and the truth of church teaching. And I know there's different circumstances or people, but to the point now, as you point out, it's just off the charts in terms of what people are saying is okay in our society.
Certainly. I think a lot of people think, no, this is a clear example. They can think of many. I can think of many clear examples of politicians saying some very egregious, scandalous things about abortion and church teaching, and you know, they think that they can have both of those things, and it is, as you say, it's a teaching opportunity. I think this is an opportunity for a bold witness. Yeah. on the part of
a bold and loving witness. I mean, let's put it out there and say, look, this is the this is why God says this. This is why the church says this. It's for everyone's benefit, including your own. It's because God loves us, and this is a plan that he has for us. Jeremiah 29:11. Loretta, great article, and not an easy topic to to address. So I appreciate your boldness and your courageousness in interviewing a lot of different bishops, and for corresponding with us and with other people on Twitter and in the comment section. What's your next piece you're working on?
Oh, I'm working on a piece, actually a follow-up from the USCCB General Assembly, looking at kind of what's being done to address issues in seminaries. So Watch out for that.
Well, there you go. All right, well, let us know when it comes out, because we'll have you back on. These are very important topics, and we really like to put people in touch with these different resources, as I mentioned yesterday. Thanks, Loretta. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, and have a great day.
You too.
And don't forget, you can check out all the great work of Loretta and the other wonderful writers, including Patty Armstrong, who was just chosen as a Catholic Press Association's top blogger. She writes for the Register. She's also a noted author and speaker. And the Michigan girl, I was saying this earlier, she's from southeastern Michigan, educated at, I believe, Wayne State University in Detroit. And just a wonderful person, a mom and a wife and a good friend of ours. And we do a lot of projects together. Congrats to Patty. I have something on my Facebook page and also Twitter about Patty's award that she was just given. We will be right back to let you know what's coming up on tomorrow's program. And please, please, please check out the Register, ncregister.com, Loretta's article and other great articles to keep you connected. And don't forget about our webinar tomorrow, Intimacy and Marriage with Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House. And you can get all the details for the webinar at teresatomeo.com/webcast. We'll be right back on a Tuesday.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
When you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. This afternoon, 1 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive?
Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs and community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Stay tuned to all of our great programming here at EWTN, EWTN.com. Coming up tomorrow, go to my favorite place on God's green earth, Italy, to check in with Joan Lewis and the latest from the Vatican and the Holy Father's audience, the Wednesday audience message. And then we're also working on a number of other stories there's so much. Andrew's got so many emails out, and I don't know, take your pick. I really want to catch up with our dear sister in Christ, Abby Johnson, a big, very successful pro-life women's conference over the weekend. I think between 800 and 900 women were there. There's also some other stories. Our friends at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, Dawn Hawkins, has some information on what's going on in the culture and the latest things that our culture is trying to sell girls as well as women. So, again, so much to talk about, so little time. We will, though, bring you the latest and the greatest news and the stories that we need to be aware of and how we can make a difference. And, again, as Al always says, to look at everything through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the faith. Go out there and make it a good day, and we'll talk to you on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.